You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Dan Sorensen, publisher for YouthZone.com, the Rivals-affiliated youth sports site. Dan, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So, four games into the season, Dan, what do you think so far?
You know, I think that the Utes have exceeded anybody's wildest expectations. You know, going into the season, I personally believe that the Utes had a chance to be pretty good, assuming that they got solid quarterback play and assuming that they were able to avoid injuries, especially at key positions like linebacker or in the safeties. And, you know, really so far that's happened. Travis Wilson played very well against Michigan, probably better than he got credit for immediately after the game. He played fantastic against Oregon, and, you know, here we are. You know, the Utes are the fifth-ranked team in the country, and you know, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams, if they even would have scripted it out, would have written the script like this. So it's been pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, clearly with the exceeding expectations at this point, the Utah Kool-Aid is flowing nationwide. Do you think it might be a little overblown to some extent, though?
You know, it's early in the season. It's hard to tell what teams are. You know, frankly, you know, I've heard a lot of fans say, you know, we should pump the brakes. You know what? And I take the opposite mentality. I mean, how often, if you're a fan of a team, how often is your favorite team, you know, going to be ranked in the top five of the country? Embrace it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the national attention. Enjoy the notoriety. Don't go ahead and book your tickets to the Rose Bowl just yet. Don't book your tickets to the national championship game just yet. But enjoy the ride while it happens. You know, frankly, when you look at all things being equal, when you look at the resumes of each of the schools, you know, Utah by far has the most impressive resume. You know, that Michigan team, they're looking like a bunch of monsters right now, and, you know, Utah beat them fairly handily. You know, and Oregon, you know, going into their place, scoring more points than anybody had ever scored in Austin Stadium, and really just blowing them out the way that they did. And yes, everything went perfectly for the Utes. It was one of those nights, but you know, it was really a statement game, and it opened people's eyes. And frankly, for some people, it changed the entire dynamic in the way they see college football in the Pac-12. And so enjoy it while it lasts, because you know, who knows? We don't know if this team is going to really end up winning the South. We don't know what this team is going to do. So you might as well have fun while it's happening.
No, I think you make a great point in that we don't know that they're going to win the South. I mean, the road teams in the Pac-12 have a winning record. And, I mean, that first week, road teams were undefeated in the Pac-12. I mean, how crazy do you think the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 South are and will be throughout the season?
It's a tough division. When you just look at the road that's ahead of Utah, you know, they've got Cal coming up, and Utah is a better football team than Cal. But Cal has the great equalizer in college football, and that's a fantastic quarterback. And strong quarterback play in college football will cover up many, many issues and many, many weaknesses. And so, you know, so they're going to have to find out how to deal with Goff and be able to overcome that. And then they get into the meat of the South schedule. They've always struggled with Arizona State. It's a tough matchup for them. You know, they have a hard time dealing with the speed, and so they're going to have to go out and do to Arizona State what they did to Oregon. They're going to have to punch them in the mouth, and they're going to have to, you know, make them withdraw. And you know, we'll see if the Utes are capable of doing that, you know. And then are they capable of staying focused? You know, USC in the Coliseum is not going to be an easy game. You know, they're going to be out for blood after last year. You know, they're going to want revenge for that game, and they're going to want to take the Utes off their pedestal. You know, none of these L.A. schools, you know, want Utah walking around talking about how they own L.A. You know, there's some pride on the line. And you got Arizona, you know, and with a new Solomon, and you know, Utah gave Utah fits last year as a team that everybody thought Utah was going to beat last year, and the Utes got blown out on their home field. And, you know, so there's no guarantees in this conference, and And so if they don't stay focused, if they don't come play every single week, if they don't have a solid game plan, if they can't execute on those game plans, they can get beat by every single team that they play going forward. Now, the reverse side of that is they are absolutely capable of beating every team that they're playing as well. So it should make it fun to watch going down the stretch.
Yeah, I've been preparing myself all season for Pac-12 conference play and trying to get healthier so that my heart could handle it all, especially after last year. I mean, you know, there's been a ton of talk about the timing of the bye week. I've come to the conclusion it's beneficial in the sense that, you know, these are college kids. It kind of helps them calm down a little bit and allow them to focus after that Oregon win. Would you agree with that? And what are your thoughts on the bye week?
You know, I think there's an argument for that. It's hard to tell the mentality of the team because we don't get a lot of access to them, especially when they're off that week. I think the biggest beneficiary of that bye week is Travis Wilson, because I still don't think he was 100% for that Oregon game. And so just giving a week off for that shoulder to heal and for, you know, him to, you know, continue to get his mind right and to study is going to be really valuable. And, you know, the team, it's hard to tell. You know, we don't know who's going to show up with all the attention that's been on the team. You know, we've got game day there. There's the hype. They handled the Michigan hype better than anybody could have expected. And, you know, this is even more so, you know, top five ranking, college game day, lots of distractions. And so they really need to be able to buckle down, especially this week during practice, and focus on the task at hand. And, you know, nobody knows how they're going to handle that. And we're not going to know until, you know, the final clock hits zeros on Saturday.
So, I mean, you mentioned the commotion that is going to be coming with ESPN College Game Day coming to town. You know, I've heard different people talk about how, you know, it's going to be a direct reflection on team leadership, on how the youth respond. And, you know, you just mentioned we'll really know by the end of the game on Saturday. But would you agree with that? Is this a great opportunity to show how good the team leadership is? And if so, is the leadership going to be up to task?
It's going to be vital. I mean, really, that's what it's going to take to keep these guys grounded. And so guys like Kenneth Scott, who's the vocal leader on the offense, you know, guys on the defense, you know, like Johnny Paul and Norris and Fanica, you know, these seniors, these guys where this is their last chance to go out and do something special, they have to set the tone and they have to stay focused and they have to help these younger guys that haven't been through these types of moments. And really, you know, this Utah football team, it's been a while since, you know, 2008. It's been a while since they've had this kind of attention. So nobody's really been through it, but these older guys, you know, that have seen things, they have to be able to set the tone and help everybody to understand that they haven't accomplished anything yet. And you know, and if you talk to a guy like a Kenneth Scott or if you talk to an Isaac Asiata, you know, they understand that they haven't accomplished anything yet. They haven't accomplished their goals. Yes, they can dream big. They've put themselves in a position where their wildest dreams could potentially come true, but they understand that they haven't done it yet. And until you do it, you got to keep working. And so hopefully that's the mindset. Hopefully the moment doesn't come to be too big for these guys and, you know, they'll be able to get it done. You know, this week, I think they should be okay. Well, once again, I think Utah is much, much better than Cal is. But, you know, going forward, week in, week out, it's going to be a really, really tough road.
No, I 100% agree with you. Now, I want to switch things up a little bit. Youth Zone and Rivals is a great, I mean, amazing source really for recruiting. How much is all this attention helping on the youth recruiting front?
It's making a big difference. You know, and it's, you know, I think that if people expect a bunch of high profile 4-star kids to be beating down Utah's door and wanting to commit, they're going to be disappointed. It's really not, you know, Utah, frankly, A, they don't go after a lot of those guys, and B, you know, there's still a stigma, especially for out-of-state kids, about the word Utah, the place Utah. They don't know a lot about it, you know, and some people kind of raise their eyebrows when they think about it until they get there and they see it firsthand and then realize, oh, you know, Salt Lake is an amazing place. It's not, you know, what people say it is. And so, now that said, it's making a big impact already. You know, they've had three commitments since the Oregon game. All three are guys that they wanted. A couple of them are guys that got late offers and committed on the spot, you know, and so guys that are paying really, really close attention to the Utes. And it's a dream for them to play. They realize and they understand that, you know, it's a privilege that not everybody gets, and they're jumping on it when they get the chance. The biggest thing that I think you're going to see is Utah being able to hang on to the really talented kids that they have already in the fold. So Tyler Huntley, the quarterback out of South Florida, you know, he's blowing up. He's putting up unbelievable numbers in a very, very tough division in the Miami area. And schools are starting to pay attention to him. SEC schools are starting to inquire. Certainly, you know, the school down the street in Coral Gables is starting to inquire because, you know, they've got big, big problems and they need help. And so guys like Tyler Huntley, after seeing what Utah did to Oregon, they're locked in. Devier Hamilton is another guy, a Southern California guy, great athlete, plays at Long Beach Poly, which is one of the best programs in California. You know, he was a guy when he committed to Utah, you know, he said, you know, I'm committed, but I'm, you know, I'm a soft commitment. I'm going to take other visits. I'm still going to listen to other people. Utah beats Oregon like they do, and Devier Hamilton is all in, and he's trying to recruit other guys. You know, guys like Melquise Stovall, who's a former USC commit, it's a four-star kid, he's going to be visiting the Utes in a couple of weeks. You know, Devier is trying to sell Melquise into, you know, coming with him to Utah. And so you're seeing that the kids are already committed, they're solidified, and you're starting to see the level of talented kids and the interest that you're getting from talented kids continue to grow. I think that there's going to be some movement in this year's class. I think you're going to see more movement even in next year's class, especially with a lot of the in-state kids. For whatever reason, a lot of the kids that are in the state of Utah, you know, they don't really have a high priority of staying at home and hometown pride and that sort of thing. They'd rather see, you know, where the world will take them. And that's totally fine. That's their prerogative. But I think that you're going to see a lot more kids, especially in the class of 2017, the class of 2018, that are looking at Utah football. And when they look at Utah and in Oregon and they say, well, geez, you know, Utah's beating the crap out of these guys. And Utah's beating the crap out of, you know, USC and UCLA. They're winning these games. They're competing. And I can stay home. I can play in front of my friends and families. You know, you're going to see that argument, you know, grow in their minds. And they're going to start winning a lot more of these battles for the really, really high kids.
All right. I mean, you know, you brought up, you know, the you know, the win over Oregon. You mentioned some potentially future winning in the SoCal schools and whatnot. How important, even critical, is it that the Utes continue to ride the momentum and win more games this year?
It's necessary now. So the flip side of putting themselves in the position that they're in is that if they fall and they only win eight games, a lot of people will see that as a disappointment. And whereas, you know, that may not be fair, it's the way that it is now. And so it's the flip side of the rapid rise to success. And so really, if the Utes have given themselves this unbelievable opportunity to make a statement to all of, not only just the Pac-12, but all of college football, that we have arrived, we are a program that needs to be feared and needs to be reckoned with, and we can hang and not only just hang with them, but beat these big name brand schools. And they have the opportunity to turn themselves into a name brand school, which Utah isn't there yet, at least from a national perspective. And so the only way to do that is to win, and to win now. And so they need to capitalize on this momentum. They need to capitalize on the things that have happened to them and make an impact and finish the year.
All right, well, let's talk about the Cal game. I know you've mentioned you kind of think that Utah should win this game. But, you know, Cal is fourth in rushing defense, 10th in passing defense in the Pac-12. Sounds like another game that Travis Wilson will have an opportunity to play through some potential shoulder pain, but have an opportunity to shine. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think the Cal defense is all that good. Frankly, they were dreadful last year. They're improved this year. They've been opportunistic. They've been able to force turnovers. Utah should be able to move the football on them. And frankly, after the Oregon game, if they're studying film, Utah's given them a lot to think about. I think Devontae Booker's going to have a good game. I think that Travis has the opportunity. He needs to play well, but he has the opportunity to put up numbers. Cal has not faced a defense like this Utah defense yet. You know, the offensive line is a little suspect when it comes to pass protection. I think that Utah is going to show a lot of looks that Cal maybe hasn't seen. I think you're going to see maybe a little bit more blitzing than you would have before. And because they know that Goff is the key. If you can stop Goff, if you can make his life miserable, Cal has no shot whatsoever. And so I think that they're going to really try to do whatever they can to pressure him. The fact that Hunter Dimmick is going to be back is going to be big. Kylie Fitz has been playing well. You know, the defensive ends have been doing well. The defensive tackles have been playing out of this world this year. And frankly, that interior of the Cal line isn't going to see a set of defensive tackles as good as they will in terms of what they're going to see for the Utes. And so, you know, if that D-line is able to collapse that pocket, if they're able to make Goff's life miserable, the offense will be able to put up enough points to do what it takes to win the game and probably win pretty comfortably. I personally expect a somewhat comfortable win. I think it'll be close through three quarters, and I think the Utes pull away at the end.
Okay. I mean, you know, one of the big differences, and you mentioned it earlier, was big differences this year, but you mentioned earlier was quarterback play. What have you seen in Travis Wilson's game that has changed between last year and this year? Or is a lot of it to be chalked up to the fact that, you know, he's got an offensive coordinator he's comfortable with, he's playing to his strengths?
You know, I think there's some of that. I think one of the bigger changes that I've seen is, you know, just the way he carries himself. He carries himself a lot better. You know, he moves around with a lot more confidence. You know, he's always been capable of making big plays. When he was a sophomore, you know, he made big plays. He also made dumb plays and had a lot of interceptions and had some bad luck, you know, in terms of, you know, receivers dropping balls and tipping balls into the hands of defensive backs. But, you know, he's got some talent, and it can't be undersold, I think, that relationship that he has with Coach Roderick. You know, they've been very close. Roderick was his recruiter in high school. I know that Coach Roderick has always been a big believer in Travis and what he's capable of doing and what his potential is, and we're starting to see that realize now. Now, granted, you know, the big game against Oregon was kind of his coming out party, at least nationally, and he needs to be able to follow that up. And so, you know, once again, he had a great game, but, you know, he's not done yet. You know, he hasn't finished this year yet, and he's still got a lot of things that he needs to do and he needs to accomplish before we can really, you know, call him truly one of the elite signal callers in the Pac-12. But he's there, and he's got a couple of smart offensive coordinators that believe in him, that we are going to be able to game plan to his strengths. He's as confident as we've ever seen him at Utah. He's making good throws. He's not perfect. You know, he still makes mistakes, but he takes care of the football. He, in the Oregon game especially, he did much, much better in the zone read and knowing when to keep the ball, when to hand it off, and really give teams, you know, something to think about in terms of whether they're going to sell out to stop Devontae Booker or whether they're going to stay home and defend the quarterback as well. And they're going to have to. And I think that's going to make Devontae's life a lot easier going forward, which should in turn make Travis's life even easier. And so he's had a good start. There's a lot of promise. There's a lot of potential. But right now he's still got an incomplete. He needs to follow up and show that he can be consistent and show that he can be a leader and that he can lead this team to accomplish more than they've ever done before.
All right. Well, Dan, you know, I've got two more questions, but do you have any other final thoughts on the Utes as they are right now in this upcoming weekend?
You know, I mean, and I've kind of said it before. I've said a lot of, you know, where I'm at. I think Ute fans should just enjoy the ride. This is fun. Like, how often do we really get the chance to see a team, you know, accomplish what they've done and really get this notoriety? And so hopefully the ride can continue for a little bit longer, but just enjoy the ride. This is a good Utah football team. You know, are they going to finish undefeated? That's going to be a really, really tough task. But either way, this is a great team. It's going to be one of the better teams that the fans will remember. And so just enjoy the process.
All right, Dan, final question. You know, this is Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Hey, the question I ask all our guests is, what's their favorite thing to have for lunch? So how does it fall for you?
My favorite lunch in the world is, there's a little spot in Mountain View, California called Shalala, and their spicy miso ramen noodles are probably my favorite food on the planet, and it's my favorite lunch spot. So if you have the means and you are in Mountain View, California, go to Shalala, get yourself a nice bowl of ramen. You will not regret it.
Yeah, all right. We'll keep that in mind next time I'm in Cali. Once again, Dan, thanks for hopping on with us, and I really appreciate your insight.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.